The FBI searching to find two men, one charged with murdering a Wake County deputy who escaped undetected from a Virginia jail. An hour-by-hour breakdown of the timeline of their escape.
A nonprofit organization is demanding change from the Department of Social Services. We'll hear from a grandmother who says her grandson was wrongfully taken from family.
Then, should high school athletes make money off their name, image, likeness? We'll explain the new proposal that would help students cash in.
See the coolest day this week before temperatures turn around and how long we stay dry.
Right now at 7 o'clock, the FBI is one of several agencies actively searching for an escaped inmate accused of killing a Wake County deputy.
Alder Maureen Sotelo broke out of jail in Virginia early Sunday morning, yet it took officials more than 24 hours to realize he was on the run. He's charged with murder in connection with Deputy Ned Byrd's death in August. Thanks for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Maureen Sotelo was not the only inmate to escape. WRL's Joe Fisher has the timeline now on how this all unfolded.
Here in Wake County, Sheriff Willie Rowe tells me he is prepared to deploy whatever resources are necessary to help locate Alder Maureen Sotelo. This escape happened 140 miles north in Farmville, Virginia. That's where jail officials tell me Maureen Sotelo escaped more than 24 hours before jail staff noticed he was missing.
All units are on the lookout for two escaped inmates.
Tonight, the FBI has joined the search for Alder Maureen Sotelo, still on the run after escaping from the Piedmont Regional Jail in Farmville, Virginia. The 26-year-old is facing federal gun and murder charges in the death of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. The jail superintendent confirms Maureen Sotelo escaped at 1:18 a.m. Sunday. 22 hours later, around 11:30 p.m., is when a second inmate, Bruce Callahan, escaped. Callahan was being held on federal drug charges. It took another 4 hours, around 3:19 this morning, for jail staff to notice the two men missing. It took another 40 minutes to notify authorities. The Prince Edward County Sheriff's Department says they were notified around 4 a.m.
Those subjects are federal inmates that were being housed in Piedmont Regional Jail located in Farmville, Virginia, and both subjects have addresses in North Carolina.
Right now, the all-out search continues with helicopters, canines, and boots on the ground. The Piedmont Regional Jail says both inmates were housed in the same open dorm with 70 to 80 other inmates. Jail Superintendent Jerry Townsend telling WREL, quote, they manipulated the locking mechanism on the rear exit door, which allowed them to break free. And there is about a 26-hour period of time between that first escape and when jail staff noticed the two men missing. The superintendent at the jail tells me head counts were conducted on Sunday, but when I asked how many head counts were conducted in that 26-hour window, the superintendent said no comment at this time. I'm Joe Fisher, WREL News, Raleigh.
High school student athletes in North Carolina could be closer to having the ability to profit off their name, image, and likeness. The North Carolina High School Athletic Association is considering a proposal that could take effect as early as July if approved. WREL's Aaron Thomas is live at Athens Drive High School in Raleigh with the next steps. Aaron.
Well, Deborah, this would be a major shakeup for high school sports if this is approved. I've been talking with some of the parents and student athletes out here. They say that they're surprised that this is even being considered in the first place. Now, as it stands here in the state of North Carolina, any sort of a high school student athlete, they cannot make money off of their name, image, or likeness. This is often referred to as NIL. Participating and doing such activity would actually make them ineligible for a sport. But if this proposal from the North Carolina High School Athletic Association is approved, and they could then make money off of things like autographs, participating in camps, participating in some of those brand endorsements. I spoke with one parent and sports fan who says that he's all for this.
But if they can get paid and make a dollar, because as a former student athlete, I know all the work that goes into it. And if somebody wants to pay them for their time, go for it.
Now, not only are there supporters, there are some folks who were highly against this proposal. You can see this tweet here on your screen. One person saying that this is a huge mistake to consider and doesn't like the idea of high school minors signing contracts. Obviously, there's a lot to break down here. We'll be back at 10 on Fox 50. We actually spoke with our sports investigative reporter to break down the qualifications involved, where this money will come from, and some of the restrictions in place. Deborah?
Quite a proposal. Aaron Thomas, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Aaron.
New tonight, a Senate committee amended and passed a high school sports bill to partially remove some controversial language about transgender athletes. The school athletics transparency bill focuses on who oversees high school sports in the state. Part of that bill included language requiring athletes to compete in sports correlating with the gender on their birth certificates. An updated version now of the bill now directs the State Board of Education to come up with rules for, quote, biological participation. Other bills in the General Assembly still include language requiring athletes to compete on teams matching their birth gender.
I'm Chris Lovingood in the WREL Live Center. Within the last hour or so, we have learned more information from Wake County's manager, David Ellis, about a recommended $1.8 billion for fiscal year 2024. I want to pull up on screen for you just some of the highlights from this. Again, $1.8 billion budget with a total of a 3.25-cent property tax increase. Now, some of that increase was actually voted on during the last election, so keep that in mind. But basically, this would mean that the owner of a median assessed home with a value of $300,000 would pay an additional $98 in the next fiscal year. Now, some of this is also set aside for public safety, housing affordability, child welfare, behavioral health, and education. Plus, the budget also mentions it accounts for inflation as well as the rising costs in order to retain employees to keep the talent right here in Wake County.
All right, Chris, thank you. At least half a dozen Harris Teeter grocery stores were evacuated in our area today after bomb threats. The grocery stores were scattered in the Raleigh-Durham area. The threats started around 12:30 p.m., were all deemed non-credible. WREL sent Sky 5 and some ground crews to various locations. See people outside waiting for the all clear. The Durham location at Hope Valley Commons reopened to customers by 2:30 this afternoon. At least two other locations remained evacuated at last check.
Tonight, a warning for people who live in Knightdale. Town officials say they've received information about a person dressed in a hazmat suit claiming to be with the town, asking to go inside a home. The person claimed to be checking for a rodent infestation. Town officials say no one with the town is going door to door requesting entry into the home. If you see anyone doing this, call 911 and don't let them inside your house. A grandmother says it took a lawsuit and more than a year for her daughter to get back custody of her son with special needs. She says that's time her family will not get back with him. WREL's Destiny Patterson reports the case sparked change within the Durham Department of Social Services.
That lawsuit led to a legal settlement after Zyron was institutionalized under the department's care. His grandmother says that she believes that he was taken unnecessarily in the first place, and she believes that the department should prioritize putting children with their biological family.
Babies don't belong in institutions. That's the argument made by Priscilla Smith. The Durham Department of Social Services took custody of Smith's grandson, Zyron, when he was a baby.
So I do not understand why the Department of Social Services felt the need to take Zyron.
Zyron was born with special needs. His mother has a severe medical condition. They were separated for more than a year.
But my daughter would never get the year and a half back that she got taken from her child.
The family filed a federal lawsuit and received a $20,000 settlement from the Durham Department of Social Services. As part of the settlement, the county agreed to implement new policy for children with medical needs. It prioritizes family placement and non-institutional settings.
We do not believe that they are honoring trauma-informed care.
Don Blagrove is the executive director of Emancipate NC, a nonprofit organization focused on dismantling structural racism and mass incarceration. She says more needs to be done. The organization made several recommendations to the department back in September, including more social workers for parents and increasing visitation time.
This has got to stop.
Priscilla says that Zyron is back in the care of his mother and father, and they're doing great. She says she doesn't want any other family to go through what hers has. I did reach out to the county, and I have not heard back yet. Destiny Patterson, WREL News, Durham.
North Carolina's state capitol is closing this week for some renovations. Starting Wednesday, the National Historic Landmark will be closed to the public until further notice. Work is underway to replace the copper on the roof and the dome, repair some mortar and stone on the building's exterior, and update the HVAC system. This construction is expected to take at least a year.
Buildings seem to be popping up everywhere in downtown Raleigh. However, this is creating a new problem. Coming up, WRL looks into the increasing office vacancy rate in downtown Raleigh. And trash is washing ashore on the North Carolina coast. Coming up, where officials believe this is coming from and how this may not be the first time this has happened. Kat?
I'm tracking a few spotty showers pushing into the northern part of our viewing area, and we have additional chances. I'll have a closer look at what to expect in the coming days coming up.
I want to bring you back into the WREL Live Center. We have just confirmed within the last 10 minutes or so from the town of Wake Forest saying that there was a structure fire caused by an explosion. It happened here on River Hill Drive and not too far from Old Falls of Neuse Road. And over towards the west is actually Falls Lake, if you're familiar with that. We have learned the fire is under control. No one has been injured, and I just got off the phone with Eric Miller and the WREL Breaking News Tracker. He is going to stay out there. He is going to try to get more information. So make sure later tonight in our newscasts that you, of course, get the latest information here on WREL News.
We'll check back in, Chris. Thank you. Let's take a live look at the downtown Raleigh skyline tonight. Looking gorgeous, of course. It seems every day that developers are announcing some plans to build a new tower somewhere in the city. But right now, office vacancy rates in Raleigh are increasing. WRL's Shelley Jackson takes a look at what's behind the spike.
Office vacancy rates are up in Raleigh at rates not seen since the 2008-2009 Great Recession. But just how bad is this office apocalypse?
Our vacancy rate is hovering around 15% right now on the office side.
That's according to commercial real estate company JLL. If you include subleases, that number is even higher, 17.5%. Kimmery Ankenbrand, Managing Director at JLL.
There's no doubt about it. There's going to be some winners and there's going to be some losers.
Subleases are helping to drive office vacancies up. Tech firm Citrix recently put its 153,000 square foot building in downtown Raleigh up for sublease. Also on the sublease market, ICVIA's former headquarters along I-40. Economic uncertainty is also a factor as businesses choose to downsize. Elizabeth Gates, senior research analyst with CBRE, says spiking interest rates are putting the brakes on some new developments.
The reality is, in the short term, very few of those projects, at least from the perspective of office, are likely to break ground.
The wild card in rising vacancy rates? People. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the number of people working from home in the Raleigh-Cary area tripled between 2019 and 2021. But some buildings are doing well.
There is still demand for high quality space, highly amenitized space.
Highly amenitized projects like Smoky Hollow and Block 83 are seeing better vacancy rates.
Their leasing is strong. Three of those buildings are almost 100% leased.
Tyler Hellickson lives at the line at Smoky Hollow.
The fact that I can live, work, and play in the same building, in the same neighborhood. I can walk almost anywhere to go out to eat, to go to the grocery store.
He believes in the model so much he is opening a Mediterranean restaurant this spring, Madre.
I think coming out of COVID, people are really craving community more than ever, and a building like this allows that.
And just how long this will last is anyone's guess. Analysts say it could be anywhere from 3 months to a year and a half. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
In the meantime, analysts also say it could be a great time for tenants to get into a building, especially if they sublease.
Trash has been washing up on Outer Banks beaches. The U.S. Navy says this may have come from one of its ships off the coast. Park Service officials say items with markings indicated they could be from a U.S. Navy ship have been found across 25 miles of beaches in the last week. More than 30 years ago, WREL reported on Navy sailors dumping trash off ships on the North Carolina coast. It led to a congressional investigation with former WREL anchor Bill Leslie testifying on Capitol Hill about what he saw. The Navy went on to ban its ships from dumping plastic off the coast, giving their ships waste compactors to prevent the need for offshore dumping.
I'm very surprised to hear about this. I mean, it's been 32 years. You would think you could get it right in that time.
We asked the Navy if the recent debris washing up could be a violation of these environmental policies. A spokesperson says it is against federal law and Navy regulations for plastic to be dumped into the ocean, regardless of the proximity to land. And they've sent crews on site to clean up the trash while the Navy investigates. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WREL Severe Weather Center. Don't be surprised if you see a little sprinkle out there this evening.
And it's not going to be anything like what we saw yesterday, but we do have the chances for light rain tonight and for the next couple of days. For the most part, though, we're going to be dry. It's just a few light showers in the northern part of our viewing area. And I should point out, you see more green toward the triad, but the radar is scanning a bit higher in the atmosphere. So all of that may not be reaching the ground. It's just some patchy light rain that we could see this evening. For tomorrow, we start out dry in the morning with plenty of sunshine, no issues out there through lunchtime, just windy and a bit on the chilly side. But during the afternoon, it's nice. We are going to watch our southern counties, though. The Sandhills, Fayetteville, over toward Goldsboro and Clinton, there could be a quick shower or sprinkle that passes through between about 5 and 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So a heads up, it could be like tonight, just on the opposite side of the viewing area. Again, this is not going to add up to much in your rain gauge. We don't expect to see thunderstorms or anything like that. I think if you've got outdoor plants, I certainly wouldn't cancel them for the 20% chance for rain. But this is our setup that we have going on. We have this big upper-level low-pressure system swinging through, and it's just going to sit there for a couple of more days. And it is going to bring these little waves of energy through, almost like a bicycle wheel. And it'll carry them through just enough to bring some clouds and perhaps a sprinkle. But otherwise, we've got a lot of sunshine and dry time this week. This cutoff low pressure system just sits there and spins a bit longer. It's also going to lead to the windy conditions that we see. But look at this, our high temperatures only in the 60s many days. And that's because where that low pressure system is situated, we have a flow out of Canada delivering some cooler air. Normal high this time of year, 77 degrees. So we're 5 to 10 degrees below normal most days. Friday looks pretty nice, though, 71 degrees. Still, the 60s during the afternoon. As long as you're in the sunshine, feeling great. There are signs, though, of a pattern change. By the time we get to the middle of the month, May 9th through May 15th, above normal temperatures likely along the East Coast. Below normal temperatures shift out west during that time period. We do have more clouds in the area thanks to that upper-level low-pressure system to our north. Our southern counties, though, seeing more sun. 64 degrees right now. The sunset, 8:02. We're enjoying 8 o'clock and later sunsets all the way through late August, so enjoy them. For your morning planner, grab the extra layer, 45 degrees at 6 a.m., 8 a.m., it's 50 degrees. By 10 a.m., 59 degrees. Definitely sunglasses weather with plenty of sunshine in the morning. For the after-school practices, I wanted to point out we've got that 20% chance of a quick shower in our southern counties. Otherwise, it looks like it's going to be a nice day. Wednesday, just that small chance again. We do have some drier weather Thursday and Friday. Saturday is the chance for rain, where it could perhaps be some actual measurable rain. Still some uncertainty there, so I encourage you to check in for updates once we get to Sunday. And Monday, temperatures are going back up, and I think that's the sign of the pattern change on the way.
All right. Thank you, Kat.
Turkey legs, funnel cakes, the Midway rides, all Yum. Favorites at the fair. Coming up when the North Carolina State Fair returns to Raleigh.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Breaking News Track. We're following reports of a fire here in Wake Forest. This is Old Falls of Noose Road at the intersection of River Hill Drive. You can see the road currently shut down. Duke Energy crews out here alongside Wake Forest Fire Department crews, sheriff's deputies, all closing down this intersection. No word on what might have caused this fire, if there are any injuries. Still pressing officials for details at this time, but this does remain a very active scene right now. Stay on top of it. Bring you more information as soon as we get it. Back
all
to
right.
you.
Let us know what happens. Thanks, Eric. The Wake County Animal Center is going to be waiving adoption fees this week for dogs who have been at that shelter for more than 3 weeks.
The center says when a pet is sheltered for long term, it's stress and separation anxiety intensify. They say 40 dogs have been sheltered for more than 3 weeks. If you're interested, you can see the animals online at the Wake County Animal Center Adoption Gallery or stop by in person. Dates for the 2023 North Carolina State Fair were released today.
Exciting. This year's theme is Best Day Ever.
Ooh, I like that.
So every single day is going to be the best day ever. The fair kicks off October 12th, runs through the 22nd at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. Starting May 19th, admission tickets will be on sale at the cheaper prices. You get them early, they're cheaper. Got to be NC Festival. You can look at them up there. By July, we'll learn about the contests for this year's fair. You can stay with WRL News as we get a little closer to opening day. But we love the fair.
I can't wait.
The Carolina Hurricanes took care of the Islanders in 6 games. Now they get a few days off as they wait for the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils to sort things out.
Yeah, those two teams are going to play tonight at 8. And the winner travels to PNC Arena to play the Hurricanes on Wednesday in the second round. How do the Canes prepare? Paul Stastny, who scored the game-winning goal in OT on Friday, won't stay up too late.
I'll watch like the first 2 periods, and then I'll probably record it and watch a third tomorrow. Go to bed early with the kids. It's too late for me. I'm used to the Pacific time zone where the games are on at 4 or 5 o'clock. So you get 10 and shut it down.
Either way it shakes out, it'll be a familiar matchup for the Canes in the second round. All three teams are in the Metro Division. The Canes lost to the Rangers in 7 games in the postseason last year, so either it's going to be a rematch, some revenge there,
or
we get the Devils. See what happens.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I like it. I like our odds. So if you've ever wanted to see Aerosmith live on tour, you got one last chance to do it.
The band announced its Peace Out tour today, and they're making a stop at PNC Arena. The band will stop by Raleigh September 24th with special guest the Black Crowes. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Band members say it's about time for everyone to have this final tour because everyone in the band is over 70.
They still look like rock stars,
they are.
I mean, Steven Tyler with that hairdo, I mean.
And they sound great.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
Thanks so much for being with us here on WRL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRL. See you then. Good night, everybody.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.